to Northeast Nebraska's longest-running public affairs radio program. This is The View from Wayne America. From politics to education, from agriculture to business, you'll hear it all right here. Opinions expressed by our guests may not reflect those of this station. Now turn up your radio and enjoy today's View.
The View from Wayne America. Enjoy the view.
Well, this is Dan, as promised. Dr. Mark Lanahan, our guest today on The View from Wayne America. School board met Monday evening.
We met.
Yes. And we're planning an election.
Yes, we got had lots on the agenda to Monday. And so it went, you know, a lot of things go on in January at our meetings. We re-elect the organization of the board.
Right.
So, Eric Knutson, our attorney, opens the meeting and takes the board through a election process that takes place. And so the results of that are the same. Jody Pulfer will be the president, mm-hmm. and Jamie Manns the vice president. And then from there, there's some routine things that are actually required by statute that we affirm our policy manual, which is listed on our district website. That's the official location. It's on the agenda part, so if you go to the board, it's pretty easy to navigate to, I think. So that can be found there. We have our board committees established. We established State Nebraska Bank and Trust of Wayne as our depository institution, and the Wayne Herald as the classified recording records, and then Eric Knutson as our legal counsel. So we have to do that every year in January. As people are aware, we didn't have any new board members, so nobody was sworn in as a new board member because they're all back. So they'll be back yet for another 2-year term, and then mm-hmm. we'll go through the process. But every January we have to go through that. Then we had a resignation. Joyce Hoskins is retiring at the end of the school year. As most people know, Mrs. Hoskins has been with our district for a long time. I think 33 years, done a great job, sixth grade teacher. And we'll certainly miss Mrs. Hoskins, and we congratulate her and look forward to, finishing out the year with her as our teacher. And so we'll begin that process of looking for a replacement, and we wish her well. It's always, I think I always say this, that when people leave, we definitely will miss the contributions. And then we look forward, of course, to bringing in a new person to keep things moving forward. So we did that, and then we also introduced Rusty Parker as the new executive director of the Wayne Community School Foundation. So Rusty, a lot of people know Rusty. He's been around for a long time. He's a retired insurance salesman, and I think Rusty will do a great job. I know he's been already kind of pounding the pavement a little bit and making phone calls and talking to people, so we're excited to have Rusty on board in that role. So those things occurred early in the meeting, and then basically, from there, we provided a presentation on a proposed facility project that we've talked about, I know, on this show, and I know that this has been something that really since last March probably has been on the docket. We have had a community facility group meet with us since March. We took the summer off to hire a construction management firm, which is Hausman Construction, along with CWP Architects, who we work with all the time. And so that group really worked hard this fall on, really trying to be a representative body of the community and trying to, come up with a project that meets the needs of the school and also, hopefully is something that the community can understand the needs and that the facilities would support that. And so we went through a really kind of a overview of what that was. And I think, again, we've discussed on this show, just as a review, the district is looking at a pre-K through second grade early learning center, which mm-hmm. would be located on the property west of the activity center, which that was approved at our meeting. I know the city approved the memorandum of understanding at theirs, and then our board approved that at this meeting as well. So that MOU is complete, and that's not a formal agreement, but it's a general understanding that if the bond passes,
if everything works out, then
it would happen.
We'll do the deal there.
Very similar process to when the activity center was built, actually, just in reverse. So
right.
The school actually provided that property for the city. So We have a really good relationship with our city, and we appreciate them being willing to do this as well. So pre-K to 2 facility, additions to the high school on the east side of the building for some classrooms, I believe 7 total. One of them would be a science lab, which is right next to our current science labs, and also some renovation of those. They need some updating. Then also there would be some renovation of the area that's now the wrestling room to become a ag lab for agriculture and FFA. Wrestling would be, that section would be added on to our current weight room. And then we would do some renovations to the current lecture hall to make it more of a suitable for performing arts performances. So a really quick nutshell of that. Overview. So we presented that, and then Jay Spearman from Piper Sandler, who is our bond representative, talked to the board about the impact. The total project is just short of $28 million. It's $27,945,000, and over 25 years, the impact would be about an additional 12 cents on the levy, which basically turns into, if you look at $100,000 evaluation, $120 per 100,000. So that would be the impact of the levy. So that information was presented to the board. And then later in the meeting, during new business, the board took on the action item of a special, resolution, to do a special bond election in March. So the board passed that resolution. And so basically from there, there's a process that we work with the county election commissioner, which is Deb Finn, who's also the county clerk. And so information was sent the next day, and I spoke with Mrs. Finn the other day after the meeting Tuesday, and she had decided, really kind of comes down to her decision, but wanted to consult with me. But the determination was to do a mail-in election, a mail-in ballot. So basically what will happen in March is, I believe it's 20 days ahead of the 14th, the ballots will go out in the mail for people, and then
you'll have till the 14th to get them back.
The 14th, and there are, they can use, they can mail it back, or the county has the drop,
there's a drop box outside the courthouse.
So that, either way, sometimes people like to still do that. I'm that way. I'll probably drop mine in the box. I don't know why I like that, but that'll take place. And of course, between now and then, there will be opportunity for community meetings, to inform. I think from the school's perspective, our role now is to inform the public of the project, the proposed plans, the financial impact, and encourage them to get out and vote. You know, we want an informed community. We want them to know, and we want to be transparent about knowing, you know, what the proposed project is, and then we want people to vote and put their vote in. That's the only way you can have any say in the matter, is if you, mm-hmm. you actually vote. And so, we hope that we get a good turnout. Deb did say that mail-in ballots typically provide a much better voter turnout, quite a bit, substantially, she said. So I think it's good to do it that way. We'd like everybody to vote, and we know that it probably won't be 100%, but we hope it's a high number, because we want to see what the community thinks about once they hear the information as to what the district is looking at. I think everybody's pretty familiar with our enrollment growth. You know, we're up to 1,000 kids now, pre-K through 12. We registered several students here in January after the break. We expect our enrollment to continue to grow with the aggressive nature that the city has taken in terms of housing. You know, with housing comes kids. And so regardless of whether they're apartments or single family homes, whatever, we expect that to add to our enrollment. And, you know, that's a good thing. We like the fact that the town is growing, and always been very proactive and always been really supportive of the school district. And so right now our facilities are at capacity. There's especially the elementary. But even at the high school, there's really no room to add or to there might be one room that's used part of the day, but otherwise the rooms are all full and in use. And there is some updating we need to do, especially our science labs. Those are original to the building. So we need to do some work in there, those areas as well. With the addition of the ag program too, you know, there's a classroom that's used right now, but there's really no labs. So these are all things that that community facility committee looked at really closely. They ranked, prioritized, eliminated. They kind of whittled it down from 40 plus million, you know, knowing that that would probably be more than maybe what the community would tolerate. And right now, you know, with increased in cost and higher interest rates, you know, that's where we're at. Things are more expensive now than they were 5 years ago. Things will be more expensive 5 years from now than they are, you know, so that's kind of how that works too, that you, prices usually don't go down.
Any thing at the elementary school involved in this project?
Well, not really as far as construction, but what it does do for us is clears room.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
So that would be a 3-6 building. The goal on the K-6 is to have available to have 4 classrooms per grade. Right now, all of our grades except one have 3 sections, but several of those are really full. For example, I think we have 78 first graders right now. So, you know, we're putting 25, 26 first graders in a room. At that age level, that's a little high. That's probably more than what, you know, it certainly is something that the teachers are doing a very good job with. But, you know, we really need to look at that, especially those early years, and make sure that, you know, typically the suggested or recommended number is more between 17 and 21 or 22 for grade levels at that age group. As they get older, you know, they can function and manage a little more with higher numbers. So, you know, the goal will be to be able to have 4 rooms so we don't have to do makeshift classrooms or use mods, which, you know, we're getting close to the point where that may be something that we need to look at. So that's the goal for K-6. And then, of course, to bring our preschool on campus, you know, we're a mile away. It's a very nice building, but it does cause for some issues. And, you know, they're kind of out on an island out there on their own. And so having the preschool and not having to pay the rent payment that we currently pay, you know, to, that'll help.
They would be in the new facility?
Yep, yeah. Preschool would be up to second grade, and there'd be office spaces, there'd be a media center. There would be a gym, you know, with you know, probably 250 to 275 kids there. They need a space for physical education, and that would be where lunch would be too. And so it'd be a lunch and gym combined type of thing. And so, you know, that kind of with some modern things in the classrooms and, you know, pretty nice to look at and consider. And again, you know, this isn't really for us. This is more for the future generation of our students. And a lot of staff, you know, are getting to the point where within 5 years, you know, people either leave or retire. And, you know, we got to think beyond the next 3 to 5 years. And that's the whole idea behind a long-term plan is, you know, what about the next generation here? Back in 1998, the district voted to do the work that was done at the current middle school or the current elementary school that at the time was a middle school. That was 25 years ago, you know, and so it's time for us to look at the next 25 years.
And are we projecting that this will take care of us for X amount of
years? I believe it will, because we're expanding capacity in terms of classrooms, and that, you know, really most of this project is classrooms. It's not, you know, we've known all along that our lecture hall is outdated, and, you know, we had talked initially about a new performing arts facility at the price tag of $15 to $17 million. It was pretty quick to know that that's probably more than we need. With the college doing the work they're doing, you know, hopefully we'll be able to still potentially, if we ever thought we needed to use that. But, you know, let's make our facility a place that can be used more than we're currently using it, because right now it doesn't get used that often.
So we'd anticipate not having any other major construction projects for another 20, 25 years.
That's correct, and that's the goal. You know, I know there was talk of a gym, more adjacent to the current 712. And again, you know, when you look at the price of something like that and the, you know, where to put it, we're a little landlocked, that becomes an issue. And so those are all things that were considered, and really just trying to look at something that, you know, we feel kind of takes care of the needs of what we have. And that's what I feel that this proposal does. So there will be a lot of opportunity. We don't have the dates or anything yet, but there will be community meetings out there, certainly.
For construction.
Correct. Or, well, no, for just talking about this project and informing people as far as what's going on. Just stand by and listen for dates, and we hope we get good crowds at those, because we really do want a good job, informing.
But again, we're anticipating having the election in March.
Correct. March 14th is when the ballots would be due, and that's set in stone now. There's no turning back.
Okay.
The board passed the resolution, and the county election commissioner said
they will go out a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
prior
about
to
20
that.
Days, I think, is what it is. So.
Okay,
so
people who vote in that are anybody who lives within the district, right?
Correct, voting age that live within the boundaries of the district. Okay. So there's a little bit in Dixon County.
I was going to say, and it involves more than just Wayne County, right. A little bit, yeah.
Yep, so more to come on that. I know we're up against Quiz Bowl, so
yep.
Quickly, the rest of the meeting, a lot of the business was routine items. We did settle with the Teachers Association on about a 2.8% total package increase for next year. We are going to be replacing the fire alarms at the elementary. Those need to be replaced per the fire marshal. So we did get a good quote on those, $195,000. We were anticipating $225,000. And it's with Fire Protection Services out of Omaha, but they do some work in this area and they're very reputable. So we're excited about that. The board approved the calendar for next year. Very, very similar to this year's calendar in terms of start date, Christmas, end date, all those things. It'll be on our website for people. And we approved the ESU service contract. The superintendent goals were approved, and our membership for Wayne Area Economic Development annual membership was approved. So those are all the things that went on after the
big discussion.
The big discussion.
Okay.
We also talked a little bit about our art program in the elementary school.
Right.
That was another old business item, and it was tabled. The board wants more information, which is typical. We want to make sure we give the board all the information they need to make an informed decision on potentially adding someone to help with art at the elementary. We did not replace that position, was it 2 or 3 years ago? And we're talking about potentially bringing it back, but we need to get the board more information. So they tabled this decision until future meetings. And so we'll bring back that information. A lot of it has to do with employment and liability issues and those types of things that are common when we start talking about adding staff.
So, more to come on that.
Yeah. Otherwise, we had our reports, and I think just kind of looking, it's legislative season. So we'll be following some Nebraska legislation in terms of how it impacts schools. We did our January honor recognition students. The one group that was honored was the school store students. Usually January, we don't have a lot of people just because the semester just ended and we didn't even have grades yet or anything, but we will definitely have more in February. But the board does honor those at our meetings now, and we don't have the honor coffees anymore. It was getting hard for people to get to those, but we still want to acknowledge the hard work of the kids. And so that, I think, covers everything.
All right. I guess with that, we'll let you go.
Yes. Good luck with Quiz Bowl.
Yes. Plenty of Quiz Bowl coming up.
Yeah, it's exciting. I always listen to it on the drive back to school. So.
Okay. More to come on meetings to inform people about the big election coming
up. We'll have more information out, once we get dates set and locations. And I know we do plan on having a community meeting in Carroll and probably two in Wayne. So that's kind of the plan, but we don't have the date set yet. So.
All right. We'll keep you informed.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Dr. Mark Lenihan, a guest on The View from Wayne America.
You've been listening to The View from Wayne America, Northeast Nebraska's longest-running public affairs radio program. Opinions expressed by our guest may not reflect those of this station. From politics to education, agriculture to business, we cover it all. Program content is copyrighted by Wayne Radio Works, LLC.
The View from Wayne America. Enjoy the news.